This is 90.3 KEDM Public Radio. I'm Corey Crow, and we're at our Meet the Candidates Forum. We're at Louisiana Delta Community College, the Monroe campus tonight, and we're here with a room full of folks. We also have a radio audience and an internet audience joining us, and we have a lot of candidates here as well we're going to meet in just a second. Before we do, we need to find out a little more about early voting, and I'd like to introduce Sheila Snow. She is with the Monroe Chamber. She's the Chair of Government Advocacy at the Monroe Chamber.
Thank you, Corey. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of the West Monroe, West Ouachita Chamber of Commerce and our Board of Directors, I just want to say it's an honor to co-host this event this evening. We're very proud to be able to connect the business community with these candidates tonight. We recognize the magnitude and significance of the call to serve. It's an honorable one, and we really appreciate your willingness to answer that call. Early voting is October 16th through the 27th. Excluding Sundays, October 18th and October 25th. You can see where to vote and get a sample ballot at sos.la.gov or check out the GoVote app. Thank you.
And I screwed up again tonight right off the start. I said Monroe Chamber. I want to thank the Monroe Chamber. She's with the West Monroe, West Ouachita Chamber. Sorry about that. All right, let's get down to why we're all here tonight. It's the questions, and we'll start tonight with our candidates, Mr. Vinny Mendoza, and we'll do one-minute answers, and again, the bell and the time cards and all of that. Want to know a little bit, sir, about where you're from and what in your life experience or work history or education makes you the best candidate?
To me, I spent 20 years in the Air Force. I've spent 1 year in the North Pole, and I thought it was the worst assignment, but it was actually the best assignment because my job was to control the highest suicide rate in the military, and that was my task, to improve the morale and welfare of the people in the North Pole. And for the entire year that I was assigned there, nobody died. Nobody committed suicide. And I improved the quality of life of the military and civilians while I was there. But I learned so much about how the government spends the money. You know, you have fallout money at the end of the year, millions, sometimes billions of dollars. The people request that money, they don't spend it. And we need to reinvest that money into agriculture. Right now we have $10 billion budget here, only $1 million is spent for the people here in Louisiana.
Thank you, Mr. Mendoza. The question next goes to Mr. Adrian Perkins. Where are you from in Louisiana? And what are your life experience or in your work history or education makes you the best candidate?
Well, Adrian and I are the same person now. So it's Antoine Pierce. We have a similar name. I know it always gets mixed up. We're virtually the same person. So basically, I'm from Baton Rouge, and as I said in my opening, I started my career in community organizing. I took the time over these past few years to actually listen to people, to listen to the voters. I say I'm from Baton Rouge, but I'm family here in Monroe. I've been here so many times. I should be invited back just, you know, to come and sit down in someone's yard and eat some barbecue or something. But I took the time to listen to people's needs because I thought that was important. I don't think any candidate for office should run without at least having made an attempt to hear what's going on in people's communities and to find out what their needs are. And that's what this campaign did. It's a true grassroots campaign. We got out on the ground and we were listening to people and saying, what is it that's going on in your community that we can fix on the federal level? So that's been what's carried this campaign to where we are today. It's just being grassroots and being a community organizer.
Thank you. And I'm sorry about that. That's Mr. Antoine Pierce. We'll go next down to this end, Jean-Paul Bourgeois. Where are you from, and what in your life experience or work history or education makes you the best candidate?
So where I'm from is a very complicated question because I'm from all over Louisiana. Whenever I moved here, we moved to Holly Beach, Louisiana, right on the coast in Cameron Parish. And then I went to school in DeRidder, finished high school in Natchitoches, did my undergrad work at Tech, taught in Shreveport for a little bit, first master's, Tulane, second master's, in Baton Rouge. So a little bit of all over, but that diversity and being all around the state is what makes me the best candidate. And the diversity within those communities. So in my work as an epidemiologist, I worked on outreach and information and preparation for the H1N1 vaccine. I've done a similar thing for COVID. I've seen the effects that the job losses have had on people. I've worked in soup kitchens at my local church, handing out food packages to those in need. So even though I'm highly educated, all that experience has given me the experience to be senator.
Thank you, Mr. Bourgeois. Dustin Murphy. Sir, the question goes to you, Mr. Murphy. Where are you from? What in your life experience or work history or education makes you the best candidate?
I'm from right here in Jackson Parish. I was born right here in Conway Hospital to a single mother. I grew up in Winfield till I was in the age of 9. I went to school in Chatham before they shuttered Chatham High School, and I graduated from West Wachita, right down the road. I still live in Ayers today. I've been living there for the majority of my life. And I believe that I'm the best candidate for this because I'm no different than any of you in this audience. I work 40, 50 hours a week just like you do. I'm a welder. I'm a blue-collar worker. I understand what you're going through. I feel it just like you do. These lockdowns have affected all of us. It's not just small businesses. I work for a multi-billion dollar corporation, and we're hurting. We've seen our overtime cut. 5 gentlemen from my job have been laid off. So I feel it just like you feel it. Me and my wife both work to make an ends meet, so I understand what it is to be the average Louisianian.
Thank you. That's Mr. Dustin Murphy. Mr. Peter Winstrup, that question goes to you. Where are you from in Louisiana, and what in your life experience or work history or education makes you the best candidate?
I come today from New Orleans, but when you ask where I come from, I think about my faith. I come from a Catholic community. I come from a place where you were told you needed to be a man for others. And pretty quickly, I learned that for me was in education. And so I've spent my career serving and empowering youth in Louisiana, and I'm incredibly proud of my service, as I mentioned before. And as a teacher, you see one, so many members of the community, and you see different struggles and different stories, and you see people different hurting in different ways, and you have to think creatively about how to do that. I think we have too many politicians these days who are talk, and who make their money that way. I mean, you've had nurses and teachers and welders and small business owners who we don't have time to talk. We've had to find solutions every day of this pandemic and before.
Thank you, Mr. Peter Winstrup. The next question goes to Mr. Antoine Pierce. Sir, the Constitution gives the Senate the power to approve by a two-thirds vote treaties made by the executive branch and amend treaties. Was wondering if you could give us an example of a good treaty that the U.S. is involved in and a bad treaty the U.S. is involved in and why.
Man, this is the first time we got a question like this, and I've been doing these forums forever. There's a lot of probably bad ones, but I think as far as good ones, we probably could look at some of the treaties we've made with our indigenous people. Just on October 12th, some may call it Columbus Day, but I choose to say Happy Indigenous People Day, because I've been talking to the natives in our state and how they are pushing for federal recognition, these sorts of things. So I wish that we could talk more about those things, but certainly that we can find some type of peace and give them a sense of sovereignty in their communities is what I'll be pushing for as United States Senator. So that treaty makes sense to me.
Thank you, sir. That's Mr. Antoine Pierce. Next, we go down to this end. Mr. John Paul Bourgeois, the Constitution gives the Senate the power to approve by a two-thirds vote treaties made by the executive branch and amend those treaties. Do you have an example of a good treaty or a bad treaty, and why?
I think an example of a good treaty that we've unfortunately withdrawn from is the Paris Climate Accords that set reasonable standards for greenhouse gas emissions. And you know, if this hurricane season and this wildfire season are bearing any proof of the importance of that, then it was clearly a mistake to withdraw from that in early 2017. Hopefully in the next presidency, we will become involved in that and it will actually get ratified by the Senate, so that way we cannot have this unilateral withdrawal and put all those renewable resource jobs at risk. Renewable energy is one of the hallmarks of the green revolution that is coming, whether we like it or not. And in order for us to maintain that sustainability long term, we have to engage in that, and we have to engage in the rest of the world. We cannot cling to this past of fossil fuels solely as the answer to everything. It can be incorporated, and it's part of a transitional process, but it's important to incorporate all of it.
Thank you. That's Jean-Paul Bourgeois. Mr. Dustin Murphy, the question goes to you. The Constitution gives the Senate the power to approve by a two-thirds vote treaties made by the executive branch or amend them. Give us an example of a good and a bad treaty, and why.
I would say some of the good treaties here recently are the peace accords we're seeing in the Middle East with Israel and its neighboring countries. Those I know have not been voted on by the Senate, but those are brokered from the U.S. And with help from our relations, we've seen peace come to the Middle East for whatever it's worth. Not everyone always obeys those treaties, but they at least signify that there are people at the table talking, and that we could someday see a peace in that area and protect one of our greatest allies in Israel. I think one of the ones we just pulled out of, Mr. Bourgeois mentioned, is the Paris. I believe that was a bad treaty for the U.S. It added unnecessary burdens to our businesses, and it added unnecessary regulations. We are not even in the top 15 worst polluters in the world. It was a good thing to get out of until we can control people like Indonesia and China, until we can hold them fully accountable for what they do for greenhouse gases. I believe it was the right thing.
Thank you. That's candidate Dustin Murphy. Candidate Peter Winstrup, that question goes to you. The Constitution gives the Senate the power to approve by a two-thirds vote treaties and amend those treaties. An example of a good treaty and a bad treaty that the U.S. is in.
So I think of some of our best treaties, or some of our oldest treaties. I think of our treaties with Germany and South Korea. You know, I have friends and family members who have served over there and worked jointly with those countries to protect the forces of democracy, to protect places with free speech and free markets. And I think those treaties that are grounded in our shared ideals are the strongest treaties. I can't name a specific bad one, but I'm very concerned about the treaties that we are now. It is now becoming less about values and more about securing the ability for large corporations such as big pharmaceutical companies to sell their drugs at high prices everywhere around the world. And I think those are antithetical to working for people and helping people get health care, which is something that most of us advocate.
Thank you. That is Peter Winstrup. The question next goes to Vinny Mendoza. Sir, the Constitution gives the Senate the power to approve by a two-thirds vote treaties made by the executive branch and amend treaties. Give us an example of a good and a bad treaty, and why.
I actually going to name three good treaties. The Kyoto Protocol, the Paris Climate Agreement, and also the Japan and U.S. Treaty. They've been good for the economy, except with the Kyoto Protocol and the Paris Agreement, the United States bailed out of it. So, but the real bad treaty, I think, is one with Native American Indians, and I'm talking about the whole America, from north to south. Those Native Americans have been here for more than 5,000 years. Some of them are trying, in the past, they could travel to any country without showing a passport. They could travel from north to south and south to north. But now some of those want to come to the north, and they're being put in jail, children taken away from them and put them in cages. And that's a real bad treaty for Native Americans.
Thank you, Mr. Mendoza. All right, we're going to move back to this side of the table, and the question goes to Jean-Paul Bourgeois. What are your thoughts on the Green New Deal, and what effects would it have on Louisiana?
So I think the Green New Deal, potential is for it to really revolutionize the energy industry in Louisiana. You know, we're an agriculture and an energy producing state, so why not tap into both of those with the Green New Deal? My first library job was in Thibodaux, Louisiana. So driving to and from Nichols every day from New Orleans, hour and 15 minutes one way, you go through fields and fields of sugarcane. We can be using that sugarcane to power this country, to power automobiles. At the same time, though, we do have to be cognizant that we are an energy-producing state with current conventional fossil fuels. That does not have to go away. We can transition those into plastics, into cleaner, better filtering. That can all be done, and we don't have to leave anyone behind in the Green New Deal.
Thank you, Mr. Bourgeois. Mr. Dustin Murphy, the question goes to you. What are your thoughts on the Green New Deal, and how would it affect Louisiana?
I believe it would have a negative effect simply because our heart blood in this state is lumber, agriculture, and oil and gas. That is it. We do not have the manufacturing we once had. We do not have the infrastructure needed to advance our technology capabilities. We are falling behind. We do not have widespread broadband throughout this state. It's a struggle of ours. And I think that it would only add to our national deficit. We're already running 127% of GDP. How much more can the federal government take before it collapses in on itself? At some point, we got to quit thinking about spending, and we got to start thinking about where we need to cut. We have to start trimming fat. A bureaucratic government can only grow so far before it collapses in on itself. Every republic in history has seen it. You can go all the way back to the days of Rome. Whenever it caps on itself, it was because it tried to expand beyond its means. I think that the U.S. is not far from that same fate unless we can turn it around, trim the fat, and somehow find a way to end the spending.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. The question goes to Peter Winstrup. Mr. Winstrup, what are your thoughts on the Green New Deal, and how would it affect Louisiana?
Thank you. So I'm not a politician, and I don't play party politics, but I do know that at some point in the next 16 years, Congress is going to pass an energy bill, and things are going to change. And right now, Bill Cassidy, who answers to Washington and Wall Street, not to the people of Louisiana, has been voting with his party 90% of the time. And he's going to be left out of those negotiations. You don't negotiate with a hard no. Business owners know that. You negotiate with a soft yes. As your next U.S. senator, I will fight to make sure that included in that bill are opportunities right here in Louisiana. And let me give you an example. We need a cash for clunkers program to change our school buses, which are polluting our kids' lungs, to electric in 10 years. Now, most of the school bus manufacturers are across the South, and I will fight to make sure that those jobs come to places like Monroe so that we have high-paying jobs in that transition.
Thank you, Mr. Winstrup. Mr. Vinny Mendoza, the question goes to you. What are your thoughts on the Green New Deal, and how would it affect Louisiana?
I think the Green New Deal is the best thing that can happen to Louisiana. As an organic farmer from Ponchatoula, I have a project to create 25 million new smart farms in the United States. And that will increase the national GDP from 1% to 20%. Right now, 100 years ago, Louisiana had, the United States had 6 million farms. And 100 years later, with 350 million people, four times more people, we only have 2 million farms. It's crazy. We went backwards. So we need 25 million farms to supply food. Right now we have a food security problem. The food is getting more expensive. We need to embrace that, but give those jobs to the local people, invest in the farms in Louisiana.
Thank you, Mr. Mendoza. Mr. Antoine Pierce, the question goes to you. What are your thoughts on the Green New Deal, and how would it affect Louisiana?
There's actually a southern version of the Green New Deal, but it is the direction that we must go in. And some may see the Green New Deal as aspirational, and I think it's we have to head in this direction. First of all, we know that climate change. Well, first we have to have elected officials in Congress with the political will to accept the science of climate change. For those that are in South Louisiana, we see a football-sized portion of the state disappear per hour due to rising sea levels. We see catastrophic storms. Many people in South Louisiana, Central Louisiana, just endured two storms in a row, Hurricane Laura, Hurricane Delta, but we see them they're stronger and they're coming at a faster rate than we've ever seen. The climate, the world, the globe is warming at an alarming rate, and it's due to human interaction. So we have to move in that direction. Not only that, we know that programs like the Green New Deal, policies like the Green New Deal can create millions of jobs. We can join our neighbors to the west like Texas in building wind energy, wind power. We have to move in that direction. We have to do something about climate change, and this is a way to do it.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. Mr. Murphy, the next question goes to you first. What are the biggest issues that you think will affect Louisiana over the next decade? And how would you work to fix them?
Well, a lot of it's what we just talked about, moving towards a Green New Deal. I've worked in oil field and I've worked in wind. And we do not have a wind pipeline in the state of Louisiana. We've tried it in Pontchartrain and it sits there standing still most of the time. The only thing we could hope to do green-wise is maybe move to, as Mr. Mendoza, some type of smart farming, some type of alternative fuel sources grown with soybean and sugarcane, or at the very best and the most applicable would be solar. But solar's falling behind. Its technology is not quite where it needs to be, and storage is a big problem. So I believe that we must... Going into the future, we do need to diversify, but we need to diversify in areas that make a direct impact, and I believe that's going to be in our infrastructure, and I think that's the biggest holdback from bringing corporations in and our tax structure in the state of Louisiana.
Thank you. That's Dustin Murphy. The question next goes to Peter Winstrup. Sir, what are the biggest issues that will affect Louisiana over the next decade, and if you're elected, how would you work to fix them?
Well, we haven't spoken about it yet, but there are millions of people in this country, many, many folks in Louisiana who are out of work right now. And our first priority has to be getting people back to work. And right now, given the uncertainty, I'd say that means doing investing in infrastructure projects. Some people talk about solar. Our current electrical grid isn't ready to handle residential solar, so we need to put folks back to work upgrading our electrical grid. We need to put folks back to work expanding high-speed broadband across the state. We need to put folks back to work on projects like at the Port of New Orleans, building new terminals to make sure that Louisiana stays a heart of commerce in this country. So we need to make sure we're rebuilding our infrastructure. And then, of course, as your teacher for Senate, I also have to mention that we must invest in our kids' schools. We must make sure that each of our children has a brighter future.
Thank you. That is Peter Winstrup. The question next goes to Vinnie Mendoza. Sir, what are the biggest issues that will affect Louisiana over the next decade? And if you're elected, how would you work to fix them?
Well, the top issue is environmental. Our water is dirty, tastes bad, smells bad. Our air is contaminated, our soil is contaminated, all the bodies of water are chemical dumps. So everybody's getting sick. So we need to take a handle of that. So the best way is to create clean energy. So the best clean energy that we can provide is hydropower. Within 24 months, 36 months, we can provide 2,000 megawatts of power, which will provide enough electricity for 2 million homes. So we need to invest. We stop the subsidies to agriculture, to energy. Energy gets a lot of grants. On top of that, we pay whenever they have a loss. We need to reinvest that into hydropower.
Thank you. That is Vinnie Mendoza. Mr. Antoine Pierce, the question goes to you. What are the biggest issues that will affect Louisiana over the next decade? And if you're elected, how do you fix them?
I think everybody that just spoke is absolutely right. We just heard them cover several topics: education, healthcare, jobs, environmental injustice. And asking which one we'll fix first is like asking which child we love the best. I think they all require equal amount of attention. We have to invest in all of those things. I think we have to also invest in keeping our best and brightest here in this state. We see the massive brain drain from college-educated students, vocational-educated students that are leaving this state. So we have to make an investment in education. We have to make an investment in health care. Of course, Louisiana is still number one per capita in COVID cases, with people facing massive unemployment, food insecurity, and these things will not go away overnight. So we have to make an investment in making sure that we take care of the people here. The problem in Louisiana isn't a lack of money. We have some of the most enriched manufacturing jobs, agricultural jobs, fishery. The problem is a lack of priorities, a lack of compassion, a lack of moral compass. That's what we need to focus on in Louisiana.
Thank you. That is Mr. Antoine Pierce. Mr. Jean-Paul Bourgeois, the question goes to you. What are the biggest issues that will affect Louisiana over the next decade? And if you're elected, how do you work to fix them?
So I think it boils down to a national issue, and COVID-19 has really exacerbated this. We have seen a distrust of expertise and a distrust of science and this rank anti-intellectualism take hold in this country, and really it has exacerbated our COVID-19 deaths. Our case rates are some of the highest in the world. We have 4% of the world's population, 20% of the world's deaths from COVID-19. That needs to be addressed first and foremost before we can move on to any of these other issues. Because if people don't trust experts, then what's the point of expertise? What's the point of education? What's the point of climate change? What is the point if people don't have faith in the system? And that really begins by addressing corruption in politicians. Politicians who look out for themselves undermine their authority and they undermine trust in government. So that needs to be addressed in Louisiana and at a national level.
Thank you. That is Jean-Paul Bourgeois. The next question goes to you, Mr. Winstrup. First, is the Affordable Care Act working? And are there tweaks that you would support to it?
The Affordable Care Act has expanded, including Medicaid expansion, has given health care to 500,000 Louisianans in the last 10 years. Those are folks who can go back to work, who can start a business, who can finish school because they are in good health. We must remember that investing in our people is the most important route moving forward. Now, that I still talk to families. I still know families who are concerned about rising costs. And I think we should offer a public option so that people can enter into a government-sponsored plan if they want, though everyone who does not may keep their insurance as is. Finally, we must fight to protect Bill Cassidy's efforts to take away care from people with pre-existing conditions. My wife, who is the rock of our family, an incredible mother and a special education teacher, has type 1 diabetes, and she would be limited in those events from getting care, and we must protect folks like her.
Thank you. That is Peter Winstrup. Mr. Vinnie Mendoza, the question goes to you. Is the Affordable Care Act working, and are there tweaks that you would support?
Yes, I believe that it is working. And I believe that it can be improved, but I also believe that Medicare for All will be the best solution, because Medicare for All, you have to keep in mind, because of COVID-19, everything changed. Our government was negligent. So the government is liable for providing everybody for health care. But I'm offering solutions to how to pay for it by doing a tax reform and the Green New Deal agrarian reform to create 50 million new jobs. Also, giving a work permit to undocumented immigrants. There's 10 million of them. Each one of them is gonna pay $5,000 a year of income tax. It's more than our president has paid in 20 years. So we need to invest in making things happen.
Thank you, Mr. Mendoza. Mr. Antoine Pierce, the question goes to you. Is the Affordable Care Act working, and are there tweaks that you would support to it?
Yes, it is working, but I think we can take it a step further in the richest country on the planet. As we know right now, the Affordable Care Act is sitting before the Supreme Court. Our state's attorney general, Jeff Landry, is trying to repeal the entire act. We know that the president has taken out the individual mandate, but I think that's why I support a universal health care policy. I think that no person in the richest country on the planet should die without health care, regardless of their ability to pay. And I think we should support a plan that covers prescription pre-existing conditions and make sure that people don't have to die or go bankrupt trying to cover their prescription medications. That's why I support a universal health care type of policy, because we should join the rest of the civilized world in offering medicine and health care so that people aren't struggling or having to choose between putting food on their table and whether or not they'll go and see a doctor for whatever illness they may have.
Thank you. That is Antoine Pierce. Jean-Paul Bourgeois, the question goes to you. Is the Affordable Care Act working, and are there tweaks that you would support?
I think that's too broad a question. So picking out specific parts, protecting people with pre-existing conditions, yes. Ability to stay on your parents' health insurance until you're 26, yes. What's not working is these government marketplaces that really fluctuate based on the unreliability, the insecurity inherent in government funding. So if one administration comes along and says, we're going to cut funding, we're not going to honor these debts, then that causes premiums to spike. So the market needs to be stabilized first. Now, I do support tweaks to it. Part of my plan is to provide universal preventative coverage. That means, you know, from utero until palliative care. My youngest kid turned 5 months today, and going through all those doctor visits, she had a spot on her heart, having to check on that periodically, making sure everything was in line. Yeah, that should be covered.
Thank you. That is Jean-Paul Bourgeois. The question goes to Dustin Murphy next. Sir, is the Affordable Care Act working, and are there tweaks that you would support?
Well, I'll have to be the dissenting voice. I have nothing against the pre-existing condition. Everything else, I believe, falls to personal responsibility. The government does not have the right or the authority to dictate public health. That is not its scope. Its scope is to protect individual liberties, uphold the Constitution. In the case of the Senate, would be to vote for treaties and judiciaries. The Senate does not have the power or the authority to meddle into public health. If anything, at the very highest, that would be a job of the House of Representatives. To replace the ACA, I would look at private health insurance, what we had before. I know people said it didn't work. It didn't work because the government messed with it before. Before, it was a single-payer system. And I always used the analogy, look at car insurance in the state of Louisiana. Whenever everybody had to have it, they said insurance premiums would drop, and that was a lie. We have the highest insurance rates and the worst coverage. Single-payer doesn't work. The private sector, left alone, unimpeded from government, has always been the best.
And that is Dustin Murphy. With that, we'll take a quick breather. Candidates, take a breather. And when we come back, we're going to start up on round number two. This is 90.3 KEDM Public Radio. We're at our Meet the Candidates Forum. You can find out more at kedm.org.